B, are you awake?
What the fuck? Straub, it's midnight. What are you doing here?
B.
What?
We did it.
What?
We found George Washington.
Welcome to the Bee and the Berry.
I'm the Bee.
And I'm Strawberry.
This is an irregularly released podcast where we talk about all things Sonic and
fandom and fanfic and fan art and fan.
We're here when the shit hits the fan.
Yes.
Today is a very special mini episode.
It's a very special mini episode because we can finally announce that we have found George Washington.
Yes, and it is all thanks to our friends of the pod. Obviously, Vector, who is just one of the friends of the pod.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Evay.
The pod angel.
Yes. Of course, we love the fan art. Who knew that it would be the wanted poster that would get us throughout the web of the internet?
Yes.
To find our elusive George Washington.
The case is closed.
It is closed, and we are so happy to say that George has reached out,
mm-hmm.
and we have sent George many a well wish.
We love George.
We love George.
George, please stay.
Yes.
I know it made it seem like we were hunting you down.
I know. And for that, I apologize.
Please stay.
Yes, please stay.
We need you.
Yes. I can rest easy knowing that my name has been cleared.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. You're free to go now.
Yeah.
Straub, God, I almost doxed you. Anytime you hear me do a quick pause before I say Straub, I almost did it and I didn't.
I love that.
So thank you so much to Evay, our pod angel, for helping us find George Washington, for supplying such adorable art. Go
now. Have a Sonic Sona.
Yes, that's huge. And a piece of fan art for something you've created, which, I mean, it's the feeling of getting fan art, you can never parallel
No.
it. The serotonin hit is just, it's a rush every time. So thank you, Evay. And also, this episode is sponsored by her in more ways than one because we're here to do another mini Q&A of a bunch of questions that she sent to us on Tumblr. They're such thoughtful questions. We're very excited to answer them. And also, just a special hi from me, Evay. So special.
I know.
Big part of my herstory. Big part of fandom herstory.
Yes.
That's a fandom queen right there.
Mm-hmm.
Please come on our podcast. Okay.
So our first question from Evay. What is it you're looking for most in any fic or art that you consume?
Mm-hmm.
What immediately hooks you in?
This is such a great question, and I also want to extend the question to Straub. Pause.
Thank you for including me in our podcast.
I'm generous like that.
I know.
She's
so generous.
I am. The extension of the question is also, like, what keeps you reading?
Mm-hmm.
Like, or what's a turnoff when you look at the page and when you're reading something? Like, when do you stop? When do you quit? Or what helps you keep going?
Yeah. On a very rudimentary level, I'm looking for good grammar and just something organized when I open it up.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot do the wall of text.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. I think I look for grammar, too. But I think you're right that formatting on a device is so key because that's where people are reading their fics on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get on the phone, and honestly, actually, a lot of times when I'm editing the chapters, I'll go read it on my phone instead of on a laptop because when it's condensed text like that, I catch errors that I don't normally catch when I'm reading it on a big screen. So go, if you're editing, look at the chapter on AO3 on a mobile device before you publish.
Yeah. Aside from that, I look for stories that engage with the characters in really clever ways. I personally lean a little more to canon compliant-esque stories.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy stories that can balance humor or that have like a really exceptional plot.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's so many factors, and it's really just about, like, how you put things together. And, you know, you can see, like, an author's love for their own story shine through.
That's what I was going to say on a more general level, just for fan art, fan content. I think you can tell when people are doing it for the joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is infectious. Like, it does read. It doesn't matter if it's quote-unquote good. You can tell when somebody's spirit in something is in something, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on summaries and writing a good summary?
Writing a good summary is hard.
It's so hard.
It's very hard, and I totally understand people who struggle with that. However, it's so funny because I actually looked to your summary for What Was Stolen when I was
so
writing.
Because I think I'm so bad at writing summaries. It's really hard for me because I write these huge, expansive things. When I was writing the What Was Stolen summary, I was like, how do I say it's so good. Wow, wait, that's so kind.
It's so good because I feel like one of the things that I struggled with when writing my summary, when I first wrote the summary, is that I felt like I was not giving enough to a person, because it's like, you know, you have the story and you're like, oh, but you want people to like read it and see the exciting
stuff.
Crazy
thing that's gonna happen.
Crazy thing that's gonna happen. But no, you have to give a little more away in order to hook your reader in. And I looked to your summary because I thought it was so good.
Ugh, that's so nice. I can't believe you wrote it. I thought I wrote a nice summary. Summaries are hard.
It took me a year. It took me a year to write a good summary for Reaching New Heights.
It's hard. So when I do read a good summary, I will check that out.
That is the audience's first impression of your story before they even click that link. Mm-hmm. That is what they see. Mm-hmm. So if you have really strong work, it doesn't help to go back once in a while to the summary and reread it and be like, hey, you know, like, can I change anything to hook more people in?
Yeah. Just those punch up tone words in that summary. I will say also, if somebody's title sounds good in my head, I'll click on it.
Oh,
if
for
I like
sure.
This is a fun fact. What Was Stolen was not going to be the forever title of this fan fiction of mine.
What was it?
It was a placeholder. I didn't know. I didn't have it. I was calling it What Was Stolen as a placeholder, and I wanted to publish it, and so it needed a title. And so I started calling it What Was Stolen, and actually in my mind, I thought that was kind of a weak sauce title, which is why I was like, oh, it'll... You know, something better will come as I write, and now it's too late.
If you're like me, I published with a placeholder title and changed it.
No.
My placeholder title was Tales of Solo Adventure because I couldn't.
So literal.
Yeah, it's so literal. I'm really bad at coming up with titles.
Titles and summaries are
really hard. Because you have to do a lot and very little.
You sure do.
But I settled on Reaching New Heights.
Which is good. I like that. And yeah, I also published with a placeholder title. And then it became too big and now I can never change it. So. I still don't know what I would change it to. But it wasn't going to be What Was Stolen Forever.
Mm-hmm. What Was Stolen Five Ever.
What Was Stolen? The title. I don't know what it would be.
Okay, next question. Are there any genres you haven't written for yet that you're hoping to explore in the future?
Are you ever going to write a AU or a genre piece? Actually, the better question is, are you ever going to be done with Reaching New Heights?
Probably not.
Are you ever going to finish that?
I will finish it, but, like, that's probably going to take years, baby girl.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to take a while. So, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with kind of just digging in and seeing how far, you know, you're much more dedicated than I am. And I love that about you.
You said that in a way that, like, didn't convince me.
I'm trying to look for words in real time in my mind.
They're not there.
They're not there. That's the thing. It's because it's hard, word hard. Word hard. You think if I can't talk, how can I write?
This is the cutting edge, you know, experience, expertise that people come here to listen to.
Yes.
Word hard. This is what we have to offer you. Did that help?
Yeah. Well, I will say, though, also, you are a very small subsection of writers who I think will take the time to just go over and over something.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say, I'd like to say that I represent the people.
Yeah, I'm the 1%. You're the writer's writer.
Actually, actually, it's a fun fact.
You're a writer we could have a beer with.
Yes. It's like months ago or something. I was crazy and I counted basically all the fics on AO3.
What?
Like, how many hits they have.
All of them?
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah.
Every fic on AO3?
So basically what I would do, so I went through, not on AO3, sorry, like in the Sonic tag.
Okay, I was like, every fic
sorry,
ever on AO3?
But that's still a decent amount.
That's like millions. Yeah, no, that's a lot.
So basically what I was trying to do, I was trying to see like, okay, like on average, you know, what is the hit count for?
Oh wait, I know what you're talking
like,
about.
Like how many, you know, hits like a story would get and stuff. And you are quite literally in the top 1% of writers.
That's crazy.
For the Sonic fandom.
I don't comprehend that. I refuse to comprehend that. Because I'm here and silly. Yeah, and
you're
stupid. I'm just being girly
baby
pop.
Girl.
No, that's you sent me a graphic and you said this is where you are, and I said I do not see that. I don't see it.
Yeah, you reject it.
Yeah, I do reject it. It's hard to comprehend.
Yeah,
and it makes me feel shy.
Yeah. Also, like, hit count does not determine your value.
No, it does not, and I'll be the first to say it. No. Anyway, what were we talking about?
We're talking about genre.
How did we get here? So you're not gonna write any AUs in any genre fiction? Not in your near future.
I mean, if something really speaks to me that I'm like, ooh, like, but I don't know if I'd write an AU for Sonic.
Yeah, well, also the thing about your Tails fic is the reason why you wanted to write it is because you loved the Frontiers world and game so much. So it's like, yeah, if you had an idea that felt like it belonged in a world that had a genre attached, you'd do it. But the thing that inspired you was Frontiers. So.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, going into what is canon and what it isn't, it's so dicey in this fandom.
Canon to the wind.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think I just lean a little more into canon compliant things, partially because when you make an AU, you have to make the effort to establish more.
Yeah. 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 I forget the amount of work it takes to write an AU, but I must do it. I must.
It says the girl with the AU.
Yep. I have to. Yeah, I want to play with genre. I love genre. And also coming from, you know, an industry perspective, essentially when you pitch things, you're pitching what's the twist on the genre and what's with the log line and the comps, what's the twist on the genre. So I do think, like, naturally, I'm always coming from a place of what's the twist on the genre. And even I wouldn't say, you know, reaching new heights is not without genre.
Yeah.
I would say its genre is adventure and coming of age.
Yes.
It does have genre, even though it takes place in a canon Sonic universe.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have three genres floating around. Four. Oops. Uh-oh. I forgot about
she
that one.
She doesn't know how to count.
That one. Which we have established. That is canon. And it is correct. No, one of them is probably never going to happen, and that's like a Bridgerton-esque one. I probably will never get around to that in my lifetime, because you're right, I spend an obscene amount of time in my work and in my worlds, and that one will probably never happen. And if it will, it will be many, many years from now. But I think that, like, them having big families and doing scandals in the town
yes.
would be really cute. The bigger ones is, I have one, a mafia one that takes place in, like, a Gotham-esque New York City. I want that, and it'll probably be a little steamy. And then the other one that I actually think might be next on the docket is I have this sort of aged up Sonic Boom world, which does take place like on the Sonic Boom Island, and Styx will be there and stuff, but the genre would be like bittersweet coming back to home.
Is this where I'm gonna see you write humor?
No. 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 In fact, I would like it to be very real and raw.
Very real.
Yes, which is why Knuckles is a huge problem that I'm gonna have to tackle.
Dave the intern.
Man. Yeah, well, he'll be there. But the things that they will have to hash out to each other, no, I'd like to be very grounded and incredibly emotional.
You're creating an oxymoron. You do know
that.
Yeah,
well, I love a challenge.
Alan, if you're listening.
Alan! Alan, our good buddy Alan! We actually do know that guy. Yeah. Shout out Cassie.
Shout out, shout out Cassie and Alan.
Yeah. No, I think the Boom one is next because originally, when I started writing, I wrote in the Boom AU, and I have always loved it. And I've always loved Sonic and Amy's dynamic in it because it's loaded. So I think that will be next on the docket. But I love genre. I love playing with genre.
All right. Next question. What are your thoughts on OCs, especially when inserted into fan fiction or fan comics? Do you prefer fics that stick to the canon cast?
This is so... We're not the girls to ask about OCs,
no.
Honestly, because remind me who your first OC was again that you wrote? Who's your first OC?
It took me a minute to realize what you're referring to.
Yeah, no. The famous OC that you wrote in Tales Reaching New Heights, a Tales solo adventure.
The Jaguar.
not one that can speak,
no.
Not one that's anthropomorphic, the Jaguar.
Yeah. The Jaguar that helps Tails.
Yeah. Spoiler, I guess.
Yeah.
For your
sorry,
thing.
Spoiling.
Yeah.
Like, what, chapter 4?
Yeah.
I think my stance on OCs is, like, you do whatever you want, baby girl, and, like, don't listen to us as the authority.
Yeah.
These are just our opinions.
No, the whole thing is that you make what makes you happy, and if your OC makes you happy, and if you'd like to see them with a character, create. Create.
Yes.
Go crazy.
Yes. Me personally, when I think of writing with these characters, I think that there are so many great characters in this universe that mm-hmm. you can pull from. And one of the things that I would have to think about when creating an OC is, like, you know, making them stand out. And then you'd also, again, have to take the work to establish them as a character.
Yeah. And I think you'd have to make sure that they have a very unique and settled tone so that mm-hmm. when a person reads them, they can immediately understand who your OC is without feeling like, I don't know this person, and they keep changing.
Yeah.
And so I can't get to know them because they're always – the way they speak, the things they say change.
Yeah. But I mean, I have, like, OCs, like – from outside of the Sonic universe,
yeah, same.
That I play around with like a couple buddies.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, for me, I'm just like, we have such a rich cast of characters to choose from, and I just enjoyed trying to, like, play with them.
Yeah. I also have a lot of OCs outside of the Sonic fandom that I love for, like, my text-based roleplay that I do with my friends and for Dungeons and Dragons. I think I would make a Sonic OC, mostly to, like, fill in parental gaps
mm-hmm.
for our characters or sibling figures, I think is what I would do. And I did that sort of halfway. I copped out in What Was Stolen with the King
mm-hmm.
because I did not want to have to commit to lore or stake a claim that, like, this is Amy's father in every universe in my mind. And he's more of an idea, the King. He's meant to be an idea. He's meant to be somebody who has no name that we can remember. And so, technically, he is my first OC, because he's not canon, but I never really thought of him as an OC. I thought of him more as a device and a theme.
That was actually how I felt about the Jaguar. You laugh, but I'm
okay,
so
the Jaguar
serious.
For sure is a device and a theme now that I'm thinking about it, but you're right.
Yeah. No, like, I feel like this is pretty obvious, but this will not be the last time in this story that we will hear or see mm-hmm. of the Jaguars.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot there's two.
There's multiple.
Yeah.
And again, like, they're not, like, I didn't give them a name because they're not really.
No, like, it's not worth the explanation.
But just, like, they are going to be a device in the plot later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I feel pretty certain that one day I will make some sort of OC, but I use my OCs outside of the Sonic fandom, and I love the I come to the Sonic fandom to play with the characters. So,
but we love our Sonas,
and we love your OCs, and make content with them.
Yes,
period.
Do it.
Do it. I dare you.
Okay, which Sonic character do you relate to the most?
Do you have a thought on this? I don't know.
I don't know. That's really hard.
I think you're like Eggman. I think that you're like Chris Thorndike.
I thought you were actually saying that I'm like Eggman, and I was about to be like, that is so fucking diabolical of you.
No.
He's so dastardly.
No. No, but I don't think it's a bad thing to be like Eggman personally.
I think you're like Dave the Intern.
I think you're like Maria.
I'm not saying anything because I'm dead.
If I'm thinking sort of like the big guys, the guys you see everywhere, my first thought is Blaze because I love her. I love, love, love her. I love that she's quiet. I love that she doesn't quite understand or get along with people. I love that she is internal and powerful. I think she's fantastic. And I think her design is cool. So from a young age, Blaze was always one of my favorites. I don't know if I identify with her because I don't think I'm as powerful as she is, period. I do identify with Metal Sonic in a lot of ways, existentially.
Because you love Amy.
Yeah, because I love Amy. I'm obsessed with her. I'm always kidnapping her in my stories. And I don't like to say words a lot. I feel a lot of existential dread.
For someone who doesn't like to say words a lot, you sure started a podcast with me.
I've started a lot of podcasts. Here's the paradox is that I don't like to say words, but I love to create.
That is so real. Okay, I think it took me a minute, but I think I figured out which character, I guess, resonates with me.
Okay.
Styx.
Really?
I don't know. I love how chaotic she is.
She's wild.
And I think I am also chaotic.
Free thinker. She's kind of an icon.
Yeah.
She would be the person who, like, sends you those crazy memes. I feel like you're always saving wild things off the internet.
Yeah. No, but I also feel like whenever I you mentioned one time and it stuck with me, like, forever.
Uh-oh.
That I get pretty conspiratorial.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Yeah, and I think, like, that is so Styx.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think people love Styx.
I love
Styx. So, you know, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a little fucking crazy.
That's true. I think that's good. I love Styx. Styx is fantastic.
Where the hell have you been, Loca?
Loca. Metal Sonic and Styx. There you go.
What a duo.
Yeah. They're my crack ship. It's called Metal Styx.
Oh, God.
Metal Son Styx.
Don't even say that. What if we end up with, like, ship fan art?
I would love it. I would love it. We said every piece of fan art we get same rush.
Baby girl.
Metal Sonic and Styx. I dare you. Daring a lot of people.
I apologize to my boyfriend and B's husband.
Yeah.
Okay, next question, because we're crazy. Eve said, lastly, you briefly touched on in episode 1 engaging with fandom as an adult versus as a teenager, and I'm so stoked to hear that in the episode. You know, being in my 30s, it's so crazy how different it is.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess to touch on that a little more, like, it's just nice to have the freedom, you know, and I feel like, you know, again, because when you are a young kid, a teenager, you have, like, your parents, like, you have to get your parents' permission to do things, and they may not see the value of community within fandom or, you know, the joy of creation.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, now, like, it's so easy to at least connect online, you know, with people who enjoy this media as much as you do, and to bounce ideas off each other and create, you know?
Mm-hmm. When did you, like, when did you start in the fandom? When did you take your break? And when did you come back? And, like, how did you engage when you first started?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
Well, that's what we're here to talk about.
Oh, my God. So I was not in the Sonic fandom until pretty recently. So back in, like, I want to say late middle school through high school, I was just, like, in various anime fandoms and stuff. It's kind of wild. I actually, like, started out on Instagram, and then I moved to Tumblr. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was, like, you know, text-based role-playing, which was super fun, and just kind of drawing fan art. I took a break once I got to college because I felt very present on campus, mm-hmm, and doing a lot of things. I was doing theater, and so that basically took up all my time in the evenings. Mm-hmm. And I think I had, like, kind of, I, like, actually kind of value that time in the sense of I feel like I'm able to have a little bit of separation, because I think I was really attached to the internet, mm-hmm, in high school a little too much, and I needed that time. Hmm. But I want to say, like, since I graduated and stuff, and that was when I finally got a Switch. Because that's the other thing. I didn't have a game console throughout, like, high school and college, because I was just like, I'm going to get distracted.
Yeah.
And so I got myself a Switch after I graduated, and that's how I bought Frontiers. I didn't even, like, remember Sonic for, like, a while, and I was like, oh, it's a Sonic game. Okay, I'll get it. I loved it. And then I was like, I should get back. I have ideas, and I should get back.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that's so crazy. This is a loaded question for my dear friend. And I hope, Eve, if you're listening, you know that I hold such a special place for you and all the people that we are running around with, like, what, 9 years ago on Tumblr, in my heart. And the friends I've made now. I mean, there's nothing like it. Creating something together and taking joy from the same thing. So I was in the fandom first at the tail end of high school, probably like 10th, 11th, 12th grade. And I had been loving Sonic longer than that, but I hadn't started creating because, like, iPhones became available and became available to me. And with it, like, the Tumblr app, which I discovered, and also Sonic Boom came out. And that was the universe that inspired me to engage. I used to just enjoy, and then Sonic Boom came out, and that inspired me to engage. So I think so fondly of my time in high school in a very niche Tumblr community with a bunch of Sonami fans. Mm. Just making art of our sonas, and I would write these one-shots that I now, you know, find pretty embarrassing. One day I'm going to clean them up. But they were, like, written by a teen who was there sort of unabashedly to find some happiness and some sense of belonging.
Yeah.
In a time where I felt super, I don't know, like, this was just a corner of me that felt special and that was attached to a lot of shame. And I got to come to Tumblr and engage with it, with people who seemed to enjoy it literally just as much as I did and for the exact same reasons. So that was really special. Mm. And I'll never forget it because it was so special. I also look back on that time. I felt like I was working really hard to have a presence and not lose it as a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like there are people who are older than me or who could devote more time to it. And also because you cannot tell how you're being received in an internet space by other people. It was just like very, you just want to be liked and you don't want to encroach on people or be weird, but you want so desperately to be involved.
Yeah.
So it's hard to balance when you're a teen and you don't have the space to step back or the life to support stepping back, mm-hmm, or the chemicals in your brain to even help you understand.
No, that's so true, because, like, I feel like I was that person online where I actually went away to a boarding school.
Mm.
And with that, it was like I was a person of color in, you know, a very, you know, predominantly white space And there were things about my high school experience that I wish, you know, I wish I had the maturity mm-hmm. to process it in a healthier way, but mm-hmm. I did not because mm-hmm. I was 15.
You're immature.
Yeah.
As mature as you feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it was just like a lot of like, oh, like I could escape online. And so I attached myself really hard to mm-hmm. being online. And so part of, you know, not being online in college was just like, oh my gosh, I feel like one, like I was overly attached, you know, but I was overly attached because like that was a space that seemed to accept me.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. Which is important. It's special. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think that that's really important for kids to have access to. It's just that it also comes with strings.
Yeah.
And as an adult in the fandom, it is your responsibility to be careful mm-hmm. with how you engage with people and things like that.
Yeah.
So I took a break too mm-hmm. because college.
Yes.
And in college, I found a lot more people who created like me, whose brains thought like me, people who I could make stuff with, and also people who my creative partner now, who I like made, we wrote scripts, we directed things, she and I remember this like pivotal talk we had in college where she revealed to me that she was a huge Gary and Ash shipper, and she used to carry around like a binder of fan art of Gary and Ash, and I was like, oh my god, you're embarrassing like that. I'm embarrassing.
That's
like that.
So real.
And it freed me from a lot of the like shame that I used to carry around to be like, this is fun to talk about actually with people in real life.
Yeah.
And when I came back, I mean, it was just the most joyous time.
Yeah.
To come back to the fandom as an adult, mm-hmm. to know more than I knew back then.
And especially, I feel like because there is a sense of freedom in college when mm-hmm. you can choose classes and stuff, like there are things that I have taken away from my acting classes in college because mm-hmm. I took like a little bit of that, you know, my theater classes, writing classes that I feel like really helped me out
so
creatively.
Much more skill. Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
You know, and to be able to just like also take the time to just read different things, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it's just
consuming so
yeah,
much.
Yeah. You know, like, yes, consume fandom stuff, support your friends, but also like, please, please, if you really want to get serious about creating, you gotta like dip into, you know, something far from Sonic, you know, and you will be surprised what you can take away from it.
Mm-hmm. The balance I learned growing into an adult, which now I am 26 at the time of recording this, engaging in fandom used to be a hobby that was pretty explicitly a coping mechanism, and mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for that. And now it is a hobby that I just do for enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful for that,
yeah,
too. So I think, like, use the things you create and you use fandom the way that you need to in the moment and allow space for your relationship with fandom to grow. Because it's so special
yes.
what we do.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe you'll, like, meet someone and
yeah.
start a podcast.
And who knows? And then they'll move away from you.
But we'll still have a podcast.
Oh, my God. And again, like, the people who engage with my stuff then and now, this is why you're so special, Eva. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been through many years of our lives peripherally together, mm-hmm. and that means so much.
Yeah, I have friends from, like,
yeah.
freshman year of high school that I on the internet that I still talk to,
yeah.
and it's so great.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, like, what was stolen was a product of all of those years for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a teen, I tried to start writing it. It was called Something Long and Stupid back then. I don't remember.
Something Long and Stupid.
It was called Something Long and Stupid. No, it was called A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Adventure. Isn't that the dumbest thing you've ever heard?
No.
A gentleman.
But you know what? Like,
what
it sounds really, like, true to the young spirit.
Yes! She was a young writer, and I wrote all of 2 chapters, and I did not have the time to commit to that. But the idea I had all the way back in high school, but I just actually was too immature and did not have the time, because when you're in school, you have homework
yeah.
to do a full thing. And so I brewed on that idea for every year that I was not in the fandom, that whole time. And to come back as an adult when you don't have to do homework and your evenings
yeah.
are just your evenings, I had time, and yeah. I wrote it, and it's so much better now than it would have been when I wrote it as a teen.
Yeah, and, like, you're not beholden
no.
to, you know, like, I feel like it's, like, the thing of I'm with, like, you know, my partner knows that I write fan fiction and stuff, mm-hmm. and he reads it, and he's like, I love it. Mm-hmm. He is not a person who's, like, on the internet like that and participating with fandom, but there is just, like, such joy, you know, and I think it's really important to be kind to where you started in fandom yeah. and to accept it as a learning process mm-hmm. as part of your journey.
Yeah. Special.
Finally.
One more question. I can't believe she threw this question back at us because this is a question that we essentially decided to ask anybody who comes on the pod
yes.
at the end.
What does Sonic mean to you?
I feel like we just touched on it for me. Sonic, to me, is about the journey, like the years that we've spent together and the people who I have met through those years and yeah. the things that I've created
yeah.
through those years.
I'd say, like, the same thing, just the sense of there are, like, themes of freedom
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I feel like come up again and again in the franchise. And I love just kind of the rebellious spirit mm-hmm. of it all.
Mm-hmm. Chase your rainbow of
yeah.
it all.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's just there is such a joy to, you know, even if you may not know someone at first, you can, like, see if they got, like, Sonic Crocs or a Sonic backpack, and it just makes you, like, smile a yeah. little bit, you know, to be able to talk about this, like, you know, very fun, very silly cast of strong personalities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love how, you know, iconic each character is mm-hmm. in their own special way. And I don't know, I just, it's like it heals, like, a part of my inner child.
Yes, yes. It's totally healing the inner child for me, too. Because I think Sonic is always, I don't know, he, like, is the epitome of an inner child to
yes.
me. I feel so thankful for everything that Sonic has given me.
Me too.
Before I like, knew how to create, I met Sonic. And that's how I learned.
Yes. No, Sonic is just, I don't know, it's just been fun, like, being here. And, you know, even with the discourse and all.
No, there's no discourse.
There's no discourse.
There is no Warren Bossing Say.
I think that's the other thing, too, is that, like, when you take a break from fandom and then you come back and, like, you can learn to just enjoy the product
mm-hmm.
for what it is,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And set your boundaries with
set
it.
Set your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, that is why we really push, like, it may not be canon, but it is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because for us, like, Sonic is what it means to you.
Yes, that's right. And on that incredible note, goodbye. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in the next episode. And we're so thankful if you listened.
Yes.
You are also a part of the Sonic journey and the fandom and
yes.
the joy. If you are here. If you're not here, you're missing out.
Maybe the real Sonic is the friends we made along the way.
Yeah, that's right. I shed a tear. So beautiful. All right. Well, we'll see you.
Ciao.
In the next loop-de-loop. Ciao.